There's nothing more powerful. The support and love of my family in all its forms throughout my 50 years is why I'm here today. As the first Jacksonville Jaguar to be welcomed as a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I was born on April 17, 1972. Don Bosco Anthony Baselli Jr. Thank you, God, for all your gifts. It took a lot of hard work to get here, but I didn't make myself this size and athletic. It was you. I can't imagine being in better company as a member of the class of 2022. Offense, defense, coaching, and even officiating. My class has it all. Jacksonville's own, my Duval brother, Leroy Butler. I'm honored to call you guys family. It's not an overstatement. To all my Jaguar teammates, coaches, and staff, you were all instrumental in my path to Canton. I'm indebted to our first owners, Wayne and Dolores Weaver. Thank you for bringing the NFL to Jacksonville and making me a Jaguar. I'm grateful for our current owners, Shad and Ann Khan, Tony Khan, Shauna Khan, and team president, Mark Lampin. You have treated us as though we've been a part of your lives forever, just like family. And there's nothing more precious than family. And I treasure the moments I shared with my brothers on the offensive line. Ben Coleman, who had my back at left guard, Leon Searcy, set the standard on the right side.
He said, it goes by fast on the bro. I said, yeah. He said, we had our chances. We let a few slip away. I said, you're right. And we were talking about Jacksonville. We were just talking about how we let a couple of seasons where we could have brought this franchise a Super Bowl in.
And one of my best friends, Jeff Novak, who, by the way, is the only guy I ever backed up in the NFL. I was so fortunate to play with so many great Jaguars, like Fred Taylor, who made me look good all the time, and Jimmy Smith, who not too many people could cover. And I hope one day both of them will have a chance to be in camp. It all starts with Tom Coughlin. Tom, you were a pain to play for at times, though. You were hard, you had high standards, a bunch of silly rules I never agreed with. You were difficult to play for, but you know what? I always respected you, and you made us winners. And I'm more grateful for you, Coach, with every passing year. And Tom, you and your family will always mean the world to Angie and I. Thank you, Coach. And I thank you, God, for all your gifts. I didn't ask for the people who you put in my life. You put the amazing people in my life. So to my friends, teammates, coaches, and staff, and even the local media, I guess, special appreciation to a couple guys who covered me. Sam Guevara, Pete Prisco, John Osher, Gene Fournette, Dan Hickett, Jeff Prosser, Frank Frangi, and Jeff Logman. You guys bared the torch throughout my eligibility. Thank you, guys. And overall, I thank God for football. I thank God for the people of Jacksonville. And I have to get this in just one time. Duval!
My mama calls, see you on TV. Sunset done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Worked so hard for the whole two vacations. They ain't never had a dedication. People hating, say we changing, look, we made it.
A big congratulations goes out to Don Bosco Anthony Baselli Jr. and Leroy Butler on being inducted into the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame. Y'all enjoy this because y'all earned it. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say the city is beyond proud of y'all. Come on, somebody.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, and E to the T.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. We got one here in Jacksonville, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tony Baselli. Some of the highlights of his induction speech. I look up, it's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. The hell? 4 hours not enough for XL primetime, E? It's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. Corral that show, man.
The drill, yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, yeah, the drill. I got it backwards. What am I doing? I'm flipping it around. What do I care, man? That's 10 less minutes for us to have to talk this morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Tony Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning, DG.
What's up?
How are you?
Man, I'm good.
ET, how's it going in there?
Yeah.
Now, I noticed on Twitter you said you hadn't put out the training camp open.
Yeah, I still got it. I just didn't put it
out. When are we going to run that?
I don't know. I kind of got bummed out when we weren't able to go there physically and in the times, but I don't know. I might drop it. I don't know.
You might. You were so hyped for it. I kind of forgot about it because you put it together months ago.
Yeah, I listened to it still.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Good morning.
It is still training camp.
It is still training camp, right? They're on the field, or they were on the field this morning. All kinds of reports of who is excelling and not excelling. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Walker Little and Juwan Taylor are just continuing to alternate reps in their battle for the right tackle position. David, what'd you make of Mr. Pacelli's big weekend up in Canton, Ohio?
That was awesome. I mean, great guy for this city, played for this team, was an amazing player, and, you know, well-deserved.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought everybody, you know, the reaction to his speech was phenomenal. Hit all the right notes, did a good job. I thought, you know, I don't know if they have a teleprompter or not, Tony, because he pretty much seemed like he brought notes up there, but
he had the notes. He dropped them. He made sure to pick them back up.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought Tony did a pretty good job doing a lot of it from memory. Yeah. And, you know, so
I'm sure he practiced a few times.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest, most spotlight you'll ever have on you again, right? Yeah. Ever. I mean, even if you're like, if you're Tony and you're working, you know, like a Westwood One Super Bowl broadcast, still, it's this is the focus on you.
It's the Hall of Fame.
You know, this is it, right? This is your induction. So congrats to Big Bo for making it in there. Almost, David, makes us forget that there was a game last Thursday. Tony and I talked about it on Friday. We'll get your thoughts on it.
I wish you could have helped us actually forget.
Hey, here's the good thing. I'm joking. Monday. We're playing again Friday. You know, although we don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to play or not at this point in time. So would you play Trevor Lawrence if you were – running the show over there?
I mean, as a fan, I want to see him.
Of course, but if you're a coach.
I would have him out there for a series or two.
Okay. What if you go two handoffs, incomplete pass, that's it, three and out? Is that good enough, or you want to see him have some success if you're putting him out there?
No, I mean, if I'm going to put him out there, I don't need to watch him hand the ball off and check it down. I want to see two good series. He's still a young guy.
Sure. I'm with you.
He's got a lot of new pieces around him. So
new offense.
Yeah, let's give him an opportunity. I don't want his first real reps to be game week one.
Sure.
You know, not that he can't handle that, but I'd want him to have some game time experience so he can feel good about himself and the other guys.
Well, hopefully it's good experience, right? That will
That's what you're expecting.
That's what you're hoping for. Yeah. All right. Big-time live practice yesterday from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and none of 1010XL, of course, was on hand as with all the travel coming back from Canton, Ohio. But we'll get into some of the highlights that we've heard about. Doug Peterson speaking yesterday, Travis Etienne as well, and all of the coordinators speaking this morning around practice, and Trevor Lawrence supposed to speak as well.
Yep.
Coming up a little bit later on, so we'll get into all that. I saw Mio O'Brien tweeting out that Heath Farwell said the kicker battle is basically neck and neck, dead even. So we'll see if it continues to hold up that way.
Yeah, it sounds like they had some, you know, before practice, the kickers had some reps this morning, and that they may have some more doing more live with that.
But that Santoso, I think, was 4 out of 4, and Fry missed the last one.
I mean, put them in the fire, man. Like, whatever you got to do with these guys to figure out who the heck you want to take to opening day, do it.
Didn't get many opportunities last
Thursday.
You
can't control it.
No,
I
understand that.
You can control it right now. You can't control what's going to happen on Friday.
Right, but hopefully they do get opportunities and treat them like it's a game winner.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what distance it's from.
Yeah, they need the offense to move the football. To have an opportunity for the kicker to ever get on the
field. I'm right there with you.
That usually helps.
Yeah.
All right, so today, if you want to get in, you can weigh in on a variety of Jaguar-related topics. If you're up in Canton, you want to tell us about how the experience was, or if you just absorbed it on your television screen. Today, the question of the day, presented by Chad and Sandy Real Estate, asks you, in 5 words or less, describe how Tony Pacelli's Hall of Fame induction speech made you feel. And think it's going to be overwhelmingly superlative filled and very positive, and why shouldn't it be? And congrats to Big Bo and shouting out his former teammates Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith, and at least putting them on the radar in that environment doesn't hurt. Let's put it that way. Chad and Sandy Real Estate, multiple offers on your home in 3 days or sold free. If you want to get in today, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, and at IME2 the T.
Come on, somebody.
Where he's looking very sharp, tweeting out a little 10-second video of his outfit today. So
this would have been my Hall of Fame.
That would have been the one right there?
I would have shut it down.
Okay. I mean, you're very handsome. Is it somewhat Jaguar themed? Oh, there are Jaguars in there. Okay. Uh-huh. They look camouflaged. That's why I didn't notice. That's very good. Now that I'm taking a closer look, I see where you're coming from. And you would have been the best dressed, without question, up there in Canton. All right. Off and rolling on this Monday. If you want to be a part of it, you know the ways to do it. Let's reflect on Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame induction. Let's hear from a number of Jaguar principals, talk about where training camp stands right now, and start to get you ready for Friday's encounter with the Cleveland Browns coming into town. David Garrard's in the house. Fat Tony's here. ET as well. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's been a long time since I played football. Got reminded quickly it's a physical game, but that's why we play. That's why we love it.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
ETN. That is how it is pronounced on the Jaguars pronunciation guide, mm-hmm. like on their official flip card. I know a lot of people call it Etienne, and I can get into all the Cajun influence in the pronunciation of that name.
Etienne,
right.
Like, I wish it was. That's a lot more fun to say.
If the Jaguars official pronunciation guide literally has all capital letters, E-T-N-N. That's what it says, E-T-N. There's no mistaking how they're telling you they're going to be pronouncing the name.
And E-T-N.
I assume that Travis is on board with that and, escaped unscathed yesterday, a very physical practice. They say, Dave, a big Andre Sisco shot on Travis Etienne may have been the highlight, like a legal shot. They're full on bringing him to the ground, apparently yesterday, one of the most physical practices reportedly in a while. Demetrius Harvey of Big Cat Country will join us an hour from now.
Sisco apparently having another really good day today.
And so we'll see how that goes. That's great. I mean, that's a guy, first pick of the third round last year, expected him to come in and make a major impact.
Yeah, well, just talking about ETN, I mean, you want to see those moments in practice because he's not going to really get them until the first game unless they put him out there in some of the preseason games, and I don't know if that's going to happen. But you want to see him have guys getting hits on him, being smart with them, but it's football. You're going to have some shots at some point, and then seeing Sisco have some really good days, I'm really looking for him and Campbell to really come in and be big impacts for us this season.
Man, as we said Friday, best play of Thursday night's game was Tyson Campbell jogging back on the field.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, all right. I was like, oh, my gosh.
We all were like sick to our stomach for about a three-minute span
just
or however long
we think we got
took.
A good young
it's the
one.
The whole preseason.
Yeah.
All you do. Like, in a regular season game, you get it. Guys get hurt. Yep. That stinks. And then preseason, anyone goes down for any reason, you just freak out.
Yeah.
Why is he playing?
Why was he? Right. And it's so unfair, right?
Right.
Because we're like, if they don't look ready in the beginning part of the season, we're going to go, why didn't they play him more to get him ready? Injuries are part of the game. You can't play scared.
We just don't have enough higher echelon type players, so we can't have the guys that are scraping up there getting hurt or missing the rest of training camp, and we'll see them week two or three. We just can't have any of that. We need everything to just flow into the season seamlessly.
Well, one of those guys we hope is going to be Travis Etienne, who was a first round pick last year of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and after yesterday's practice said it'd been a while, but he missed the physical contact.
Yeah, no, I need that. I mean, like you said, I haven't played in so long. Like, I want to get tackled. I need to get tackled just to get back, just get my body back acclimated with that. I just been at home working out, chilling on the couch, stuff like that. So to come out here and get like bumps and bruises, I miss that. I miss that contact. It may sound crazy, but I miss kind of being in those car crashes.
Do running backs need that? Demaryius Jones-Drew always wanted some of that.
They need it because that is the makeup of their position. They come up and block. They come up and they're running with the ball. And then they're on fakes still getting hit. So they need that. They need to feel it. They need to remind themselves, okay, that's a hit, but I can get up, bounce back from it. I'm ready to go. You also got to be able to get up off the ground after a good shot and still be productive on the next play. And you can only get that if you're getting hit. Now, you don't want to be getting tattooed the whole time in practice because it wears on you, but they need to feel and see that kind of action.
Tony, what was the James Robinson level of participation today from what you could tell?
He was participating in all the individual work with the team, and he participated in the team drills, but no contact for James Robinson. So continuing to take steps, at least, towards getting him back out on the field. We'll see how soon that might be. We've heard projections all over the place on when James Robinson may be back, but he's participating more and more as the days go by.
Yeah, you want him nice and healed up. You don't want him to be getting people leaning on him, taking shots on him, because you just don't quite know. If the doctors haven't cleared him yet to have full contact, then be smart about it. Because having somebody like ETN in your back pocket to be able to kind of really start the season, and then, you know, maybe James Robinson is – sparing him at times, maybe that might be the outlook for the whole season. You never know, but you just don't want to force or push him back. That was a serious injury, and you want to make sure that he's as healthy as possible.
All right, Dave, you have not had much of a chance to weigh in at all here on the play on the field last Thursday night. So first, let's reflect back to yesterday as Doug Peterson kind of wrapping up thoughts on that, and now I'm sure shifting the mindset to the Cleveland Browns coming up this week. But Peterson yesterday out of practice was asked about the Hall of Fame game and said there's still a lot of areas that need to be cleaned up for this team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's never as good as you think. It's never as bad as you think. There were some good individual efforts, you know, out there during the game. I think there's a lot of things we got to clean up, you know, and it just comes down to fundamentals and details. You know, we spent the first 2 weeks of camp really installing offense and defense, and so there was a lot of, I think, from a mental standpoint, there was a lot of things that we kind of threw at these guys, and now that we're kind of into the meat and potatoes of training camp, things begin to, you know, slow down from an installation standpoint, and we can go back and really fine-tune in detail, you know, some of the assignments, some of the details that we and some of the mistakes we made in the game, and build towards this next one.
You know, Dave, for me, watching Tony go into the Hall of Fame on Saturday, just kind of like, that's what the whole weekend ended up being about, right? The 3 day period. And if nothing, if you look at it like this, this is a Jaguar practice against another team at a higher level, right? With live tackling,
basically,
right? Because they're both getting the extra game.
Yeah.
Preseason for everybody else starts this week, including the Jags. That being said, how did you feel coming out of what you saw?
Well, to be honest, I was not very happy with the game. I was happy to see Javon Walker make some pretty good plays and show his ability, show his toughness, show that, you know, he's the number one overall pick. That was good, but that was about it. I only watched the first half, I'm going to be honest. It just kept reminding me
of... You and McManus should have had a system worked out where one of you watched the second half.
You try, and then you're like, oh, gosh, it just feels like the last 3 years, and you're like, you know what, I just can't put myself through it. It's not even the starters that you're watching, so I didn't even know half of the guys to, like, kind of focus on. So I just – the thing about it was I was a little bit more upset with the defense just because – they just seemed to be gashing him. I mean, Josh Jacobs was just running wild, and Stidham was throwing wherever he wanted. They were moving the ball like crazy. And I would have been okay if our offense had been doing some of the same similar type things, but we weren't. It was – guys, it was literally the last 3 years, take away the few good games that we've had, and that's what it was. And I just said, I'm not sitting through this. I'm not doing it. I know it's preseason. And I'm not saying that's how our season's going to be, but I just wasn't going to sit through a preseason game that's not even going to have the starters out there and put myself through it.
Well, this, Tony, goes to show you how important the second half of these games are. You could argue, you know, that the most two important offensive guys in the second half were Mekhi Sargent and Nathan Cottrell, right? Cottrell gets waived injured and coming out of the game, and the Jags signed running back Matt Colburn to take his spot. Now, we don't know the severity of the injury.
No,
if he goes unclaimed through waivers, he'll revert to injured reserve. He was limping around out there. I'm not, you know, trying to diminish it, but You know, here's a guy who provided the offensive whatever that offense
was
you had.
Our offensive.
He scored. He scored the two-pointer. That's it. And
thank you. Thank you
very
that
much. And you know, he's had his moments in camps over the last few years. And but one carry in the National Football
that's
League.
That's what gets hard is I know when the second half starts, it's going to be even more guys that I don't know who it is. And if they were showing out and I recorded the game. So if I heard, oh my gosh, best second half comeback.
Got to go back and
so I'm
going to
go back and watch
times,
it.
Yeah.
27 to, I think, 11.
27-11.
I'm good.
I know, like, I was so happy when I was watching the game. I was so happy when Tony Baselli popped up on the screen in the second quarter. I was like, thank goodness he got in here in the first half. I was like, I don't know how many people across the nation are going to turn this thing off at halftime if they haven't turned it off already, because you tune in, it's like, hey, football's back, and oh, it's kind of football, and I'm going to go find something else to do. Right? Like, I totally get it. But I did. Like, when I saw Tony pop up for his on-the-field interview, I was like, thank goodness
it didn't make
he
you
got
wait
to
the
play
fourth quarter
in the first
to,
half for this guy to get it. I felt bad for Leroy Butler, who didn't talk until the third quarter, and late in the third quarter at that, for his interview, which was awesome, with him talking about his mac and cheese and everything that was going on. But it was great. And, look, I'm with you. Like, there's offensively, there's nothing basically to take away from that game. Walker Little looked competent at right tackle.
Fortner
played and played all right.
Yeah.
You know,
they
did
got
all right
the feet
for
wet
himself,
a little bit for
right?
the year.
But that's offensive linemen. I hardly know what I'm looking for when I'm watching offensive linemen. Coaches tell me they played well during the game. I trust you that you know what happened with the offensive linemen. Skill guys gave you nothing on Thursday night. And defensively, you're right, man. Early on, they were just getting gashed.
That's what made me the most upset. Watching them get gashed, I'm like, I can see we've got starters out here. Let's tighten up a little bit.
We had some. There were definitely some
in the
starters
secondary,
out there.
Their guys were out there.
Yeah.
And those were the guys making the tackles. Those were the sure tackling guys on Thursday night. So maybe that's the most positive
12 yards
takeaway.
After the guy got the handoff.
Well, you know what? We'll see how some of the guys who weren't playing in the game responded yesterday. I know Foye Oluokun was shouted out as having a great practice yesterday in full pads, full contact. And again, Demetrius Harvey of Big Cat Country coming up in about 45 minutes from now. Will give us his observations both from yesterday and today's practice as well. All three Jaguars coordinators meeting with the media this morning. We'll bring you a few of their thoughts when we return. More of the conversation with our quarterback, David Garrard, in the house as we begin week two of the official kickoff of the football season. Jags will be on the field Friday night against the Cleveland Browns. Tony Smith is here, DG, ET, MD. How about that? It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Hey, E.T. Press still running his gums over there?
Man, he's still talking.
He's still going? All right, that's okay. Press Taylor, Jaguars offensive coordinator, all the coordinators talking today and throughout the course of the day here on 1010XL, where you get team coverage like you can't believe. You will get all that audio at one point or another, and whatever we don't get to on this program, which we might not, we'll bring it to you tomorrow to be sure. Speaking of team coverage, deserving of shout-outs once again, Donna Murphy put together all the logistics
for
the trip. Was fantastic. Richie Clemens on-site was unquestionable MVP in terms of getting everybody set up, setting up multiple broadcast locations, some of them set up simultaneously, driving people around. Picked me up at 1 a.m., Dave, on Thursday night. I hadn't slept all day, been running around, and did it, honestly, with a smile on his face the whole day. Like, I might do it, but I'll let you know how inconvenienced I am throughout the whole course of the process. So that was fantastic. We appreciate Richie. Sales staff did a great job. We had some great sponsors. Steve Griffin gave the sign-off to send the whole crew out there. All the producers who didn't get to go, didn't get the bask in the glory of Tony Baselli in person, did a fantastic job behind the scenes. So really a good few days for 1010XL and happy to be a part of it.
I was thrilled to be a part of it and happy to have been able to have been there and see Jaguars fans react. You know, it was funny being at the ceremony on Saturday, David. I don't know how much of a sense for it you get on TV, but when you're there, you could see the number of Jaguars fans compared to the number of fans for everything else. that was there,
yeah,
Jacksonville showed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and after Tony spoke, the place basically emptied out. I almost felt bad, you know, for the presenters that were going in after Tony Boselli, because it did feel almost like a ghost town with all the Jaguars fans going, well, now's a good time to go see the Hall of Fame. You know, do whatever we were going to go that day. But they were loud, they were proud, and couldn't have been better from Tony. I mean, we've been talking for months about it's not just Tony, it's the city, it's the franchise, it's everything about it, and that's how that speech felt from beginning to end. It was the franchise, it was the city, it's Fred and Jimmy deserve to be up here at some point as well. I mean, it was everything you could have possibly asked from Tony Boselli in that speech.
Well, I mean, it's the perfect situation. It's your first pick overall for the whole organization. It's your first and Hall of Famer for the organization. So, yeah, and we're playing in the game. So you're going to have the masses want to be there for it. It's a great opportunity. You don't know when you're going to see it again, you know. So, yeah, just hats off to, like you said, everybody that was behind the scenes doing it all. And of course, to Tony up there. Giving a great speech and, you know, just giving the Jaguar fans something to remember.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a great point, because they haven't had much to remember or to want to remember over the last dozen, 13 years, whatever the case. You know, I mean, there are one or two individual seasons and some standout performers. But, man, I mean, you know, nothing like that era of Jaguar football, even your era where we, you know, we harken back to two playoff appearances in 3 years. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that? So it was fantastic to, you know, I would say not maybe on the same scale as like the Detroit Lions fans, but still long suffering by NFL standards in a league where things turn over so quickly these days, you know, with the one exception of 2017, this fan base hasn't had a lot going for them on the field, not through any fault of their own. And, they always represent, man.
Absolutely. You just wonder how some of these organizations can just stay, you know, at or near the top as long as they do. It usually comes down to having that guy that's your signal caller out there making those plays and putting people around him. So the guy that we have now, I feel like, can do that for us. So hopefully over the next 10, 15 years, we have a lot of that success.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I mean, you feel like you've got the quarterback and you think, the quarterback head coach combo, that is very important. I maybe second, like, I think having the quarterback is the most important thing. And I know Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl with a guy, Nick Foles, who's never going to be confused for a Hall of Famer on most days, but he got the best out of him. He was also getting the best out of Carson Wentz that year. I'm interested to see what he can do. If you can get the best out of Trevor Lawrence that he's capable of, well, then everything's going to be just fine around these parts. And I understand it's not all Trevor alone.
Yeah.
He's got to block for him. You got to get open. Yep. You got to catch a football and all those things. But hopefully they put enough pieces around him to at least elevate that aspect of the team as well.
I mean, really all the above, because if you have a good coach, he can get the best out of everybody. And he can make the environment for the team one in which everybody is going to come out and compete at a high level every time they step on the field. So that's what a good coaching staff will do for you, and I feel like we have one.
All right, some notes from on the field today down at Jaguar training camp, and we'll get some of David's thoughts as well as what he would like to see, you know, and what as from a coach's perspective, what he hopes to get out of his guys on Friday night. But Tone, we see this one from John Shipley. Christian Kirk gets open easy against Darius Williams. Campbell had held him more in check. Just the fact that he's running one-on-ones against Darius Williams is great for Darius Williams to be out there.
It's good to hear. And as we were talking about during the break after seeing that, we're not out at practice, so we're relying on these reports, and we'll talk to Demetrius here in about 30 minutes to get the latest update from out there. But the only name that I haven't seen that I would like to see is Foley Fatukasi at some point. I still haven't seen the name. I don't know if he's practicing today or not. I assume he's not because I haven't seen it yet. But that's the only guy. I think at this point we're really waiting on Devin Lloyd at least participating in the individual walkthrough stuff this morning. He's went through individual drills, so he's getting closer to returning for the football team. And as you mentioned just there, I mean, Darius is out there, so we're waiting on Foley.
And let's get him healthy and let's keep everybody healthy. With Devin Lloyd, I'll feel a lot better, Dave, when he's able to go full like 2, 3, 4 days in a row and you don't hear any word of a setback. It's just going to be – you're going to have to be patient – at least from my perspective, until I'm comfortable that, okay, Devin Lloyd's past whatever hamstring issues he's got.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're dealing with a hamstring, you want to be overcautious, you know, just because those things just can linger and you can re-injure them, all those different things, and they just slow you down. They're just a pain in your butt or a pain in your hammy. So, yes, you want to make sure that he gets back and he's 100% before he's starting to fly around, because I can tell he's one of those kids that when it's go time, he's just going to be flying around everywhere. And you want to make sure he's got all his weapons with him.
You weren't always the starter during training camp. Sometimes mm-hmm. you were, sometimes you weren't. And even when you're not the starter, you're going to get some reps. But a lot of time you're sitting there watching another guy perform and you're taking those quote-unquote mental reps, right? So that's what Devin Lloyd's basically reduced to here, doing a little work on the side. How much can you get out of that? And I know totally different positions here, but just as a general rule, how much can you keep from falling behind doing something like
that? Well, when you're a rookie, you need those reps, like as many as you can get.
The actual physical reps.
Yeah, and then extra ones too, just because, yes, you can hear the calls being made, you can see where the fits are happening and all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing like being in the live action. So you can actually feel where the fits are. You can feel how fast you have to close or how much time you have to react to certain things. When you're just watching, you're watching somebody else doing it and you're thinking to yourself, well, would I have done it like that? Or, you know, am I going to get there sooner? Like, he missed that tackle. Could I have gotten that tackle? Like, it's just all a guessing game. It's all just mental. But it's good that he can be out there to see it. It's just way better if you can actually be running the plays and actually getting a real feel for what you're supposed to be doing.
Did you ever have to deal with I'm sure you hurt your hamstring at some point playing football, but a serious injury.
Yeah.
What did the doctors tell you as you were going through that recovery? When you felt like, did you feel like at some point, I'm good enough to go, and the doctor said, let's wait 3 days, 5 days, a week? What did they tell you?
Yeah, so I hurt my hamstring. It was Jack's first year. It was like one of the last two practices of OTAs. And I scrambled up the middle and took off, and then all of a sudden that sucker just popped. I laid the ball down and got grief over it the next day. I couldn't believe that. I was like, sorry. My hamstring exploded. But, yeah, so it takes a while, and you start to come out. When you're coming out and you're jogging a little bit, you can still feel something's there. And so they tell you don't open up, because if you open up, that's when you really start to extend that leg and that – hamstring really gets pulled and stretched, beyond measure. So there is a point in time where you're going through all your procedures and you're getting your rehab, and the doctor says, okay, Dave, you're good. But it's a progression. It's not like you waited 6 weeks. All right, you're good now. Let's go run full speed. It's a progression. As long as you come back every day feeling better, you didn't re-injure anything, then that time happens. And at some point, I don't know how they know, but they can feel in there that everything's pretty healed up and you don't have all that scar tissue kind of holding you back and you're ready to go. And they can tell you, hey, let's try to open it up today, see how it feels. And then the next day you come back and they're like, how are you feeling? I'm great. Okay, so let's open it up again today. And then you keep doing that until they're like, all right, you're good. We don't have to worry about you anymore because you've had 4 or 5 consecutive days of full speed. So that's usually how it works.
Okay. What about playing? Like, it's one thing to question, should we play Trevor Lawrence because he's the franchise, right? And you're weighing the risk reward of he takes a hit in preseason. Is it worth it at all? What about guys who have not played, you know, be it a Travis Etienne who didn't play his rookie season or any of these rookies coming back from injury? Like, what is your priority? Like, is it a half? Is it making sure, you know, obviously, if they're not healthy or you got to hold them back, you have to hold them back and you deal with the circumstances. But ideally, what's the minimum you'd like to see a player who's never experienced the NFL get in the preseason?
Yeah, young guys, you know, like a Travis Etienne, I would want to see him, like, totally for the preseason. Get at least a half's work of work in the preseason. You know, maybe the first game. This coming Friday, he gets a couple series just like I would want Trevor to get a couple series. And then in the very next game, okay, now we can give him a few more. Maybe we give him a quarter. Maybe we see if, you know, he didn't get too many plays in the first quarter, we push it into the second quarter. But you want to see him work, and you want to see him work with Trevor. I would only have him out there with Trevor. I'd only have somebody like Kirk and those guys out there with Trevor. If Trevor's not out there, then they're not out there.
And obviously the first string O-line.
And they can actually do a little bit longer, but yeah, certain guys I would pull out, but like your rookie center, I let him go with the backups, you know, just to get him some more experience. But you want them to have that experience. We're not in a position where we can just say, we've got amazing players, let's just sit back and wait for week one.
Some not so great news potentially coming out of Jaguars training camp.
I've
seen here in the last 15 minutes or so, I saw Mio Brian talking about the trainers have been stretching out Cam Robinson. That may just be heat. Who knows what that is. But in here in the last couple of minutes, Christian Kirk limping off the field with a trainer. So again, just something to monitor as we go through the rest of this week, and we'll see if that affects his status for Friday or when we may see him again. But no word beyond he was limping off the field with a trainer.
Yeah,
today.
That came from John Shipley of Jaguar Report, who 2 minutes prior to that tweeted out that Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk connected for a long, as I'm stretching it out because he did, touchdown in 7-on-7. Coverage bust. You could tell the secondary was miffed after it. So let's hope for the best and maybe get a little clarity coming up. Maybe not. We'll find out halfway through. So we'll keep you posted on anything we hear on that front, including with a visit with Demetrius Harvey coming up from Big Cat Country about 25 minutes from now. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, and E.T., you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Underdog Fantasy, simply the easiest place to play fantasy football. How easy? I'm going to set up a draft in the next few minutes. I'll tweet out the link, and you can hop on board and be off and rolling in minutes with me, and there's no in-season management whatsoever. Once the draft is done, you're done, and you're going to have a shot to win some serious cash as well. How do you do it? Go to UnderdogFantasy.com or the App Store now. Sign up using promo code 1010XL, and Underdog will match your first deposit all the way up to $100. Again, Underdog Fantasy, don't forget, promo code 1010XL.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Baltimore running back J.K. Dobbins is expected to undergo an evaluation today to see if he is ready to be activated from the team's PUP list. Cleveland activated rookie wide receiver David Bell from their PUP list over the weekend. Chicago Bears wide receiver N'Keal Harry is seeing a specialist to see how long he will miss as he recovers from a high ankle sprain, but it sounds like it's going to be a long time for N'Keal Harry, the way everybody is reacting up there in Chicago. Here over the course of the last couple of days, the New York Giants have placed fifth-round draft pick offensive lineman Marcus McKeithen on their injured reserve list due to an ACL injury. San Francisco signed offensive lineman Jordan Mills and wide receiver Willie Snead to one-year deals on Saturday. Buffalo is signing fullback Reggie Gilliam to a two-year $5.2 million extension. And in the NFL this year, you can expect a point of emphasis to be placed early in the season on illegal contact penalties. Apparently, they drastically fell last year. I think I saw from 2002 to 2020, there was an average of 97 over the course of the season. And last year, I think the number was in the low 30s over the course of the year. So the NFL is going to put an emphasis, especially early on this season. Be prepared for flags to fly when your defensive backs touch the receivers.
Oh, it's going to be so frustrating, right? You got him off the field on 3rd and 7, Tony. Ah, legal contact.
Oh, no.
First down.
Exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know it is. You know, didn't have enough good positive things going for the offense, Dave, but you should be happy about that as quarterback. Let's stack up as many illegal contact first downs.
If I still played, yes, I would.
Yes, or if they work out in our favor. Why
yeah,
do I feel
exactly.
like the net gain won't be there necessarily?
Right. They're coming back to the sideline after that 3rd and 7 incompletion. Just run into the guy. They'll throw the flag. Just run into the guy.
Right, basically. Yep. Tony, what was the latest you heard on Christian Kirk there? Attempting to get back in the mix.
Yep, it sounded like he was at least jogging around on the sideline, did some jumping around, walked back to the sideline, wasn't put back on the field, but that's at least good news from the perspective. It can't be too serious. if the trainers are letting him jog around, jump around, and then stand back on the sideline. So it sounds like anything major has been avoided.
Yeah, at least one report indicating maybe he was celebrating that long touchdown with Zay Jones, and that's a lot of ways to get hurt. It just goes to show you, what are you probably doing there? You're just jumping up and down a little bit, right? I mean, it can be anything, right? You can step
down
off the curb.
And the ankle just doesn't. Oh, what was that? You just never know. Yep.
But, we've heard, particularly over the last couple of days, Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk have been on point, it seems like, with their chemistry. Nice. And you hope that, that'll carry over to the regular season, Dave. If a guy, How detrimental is that from a quarterback's perspective? Now, I'm thinking worst case scenario here. Let's say Kirk missed a few weeks here. We don't know. He may be back out before practice is done, right? Mm-hmm. But just in general, how important is it to have, for Trevor Lawrence to have, whether it be Kirk, whether it be Evan Engram or Zay Jones, particularly the new guys that he hasn't worked with before? I know he spent time earlier in the offseason, but you don't want to have a gap, I would imagine, in the 5 weeks leading up to kickoff.
You don't. I mean, that would definitely be a tough blow if, Trevor was a 5-6 year vet, been here, done that. I wouldn't think as much about it, but he's a young guy, and he's thinking, man, I just got a really nice weapon here, a nice little piece to add to the other pieces. Oh, no. Like, you just don't want that. You don't want the confidence waning at all with his playmakers. You want him going into the season, everybody feeling good, everybody healthy, so they can get off to a fast start.
I know your new favorite Jaguars player, Zay Jones, is having a pretty good day at practice today, by all indications. And as, everyone out there continues to share whatever news they can on the Christian Kirk front, Demetrius Harvey, who we hope to be talking to here in about 15 minutes, says he never went to the medical tent, and he's still on the sideline out there, which both are pretty good indications that it's, again, nothing serious for Christian Kirk, but your heart does kind of skip a beat anytime someone goes down. Yeah.
It does, man. You're just hoping it's just a little tweak or something and, a little ice after practice, and he should be good.
Have you seen coaches change their mind, like in training camp, in terms of guys playing in the preseason, like that, what the plan is, and all of a sudden a guy not even like he can return to practice, but in the back of their mind they're going, maybe we think better of this.
Yeah, I know we've had a couple times in training camp where you have that 1 week where you get like two or three guys injured for whatever reason, and they're like, all right, we were going to play y'all the whole first half, but we're just going to let, our starters get a couple drives, and then we're taking you off the field. We can't, especially when you get to that, when I was playing, when you get to that game three, and then that fourth game is going to be there, you're not really playing in that fourth game. But back in the day, you still played a little bit in the fourth game. And then, towards the end of my career, guys stopped playing in that fourth game at all. So I remember, yes, you would get in that third game, you have a few injuries, and then he would be like, all right, we're not playing anybody. Yeah. You were sitting there by the season is only a week away. We can't have half our guys being injured or in the tub or in the cold tub or any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you start to be smart because, when you start losing a handful of guys, even if it's just little things, it just feels like it snowballs. And you're like, gosh, the season is right there. I don't want to jeopardize the start just to see guys – in a preseason game.
Is that a challenge, though, for like a veteran player knowing, man, all I got to do is get through this half of football? Like, in this case, maybe it's what'll be for the Jags, their third preseason game against Pittsburgh, that I'm going to play this half, and then I'm not going to play next week. We got another week off, and just get through that. You have to go out there and not think about that, right?
You definitely do.
That, they always say that's the easiest way to get injured.
That is the way to get injured, is to kind of think, well, I'm going to come out here and try not to get injured. That you can't play football that way. You got to play all out. If you're out there, because the other guys on the other side of the field, they're going to go all out. They're not thinking, hey, if you take a few plays off, I'll take a few plays off with you. It doesn't work that way. You might be able to get that in with your own guys on your own team some, but not when you walk out into that game. If you walk in that game, you better be ready. You better be ready to go because everybody else is.
Well, and for the record, Christian Kirk limped off and has remained on the sideline. Was not carted off, did not go to the blue tent, any of that kind of stuff. So hopefully it's something that give you a momentary scare, and you'll be able to just say, not something we're worried about going forward here. But
I mean, it's football. You know, there's always little stuff. There's always little tweaks, little things that happen. So these guys are young. They got great staffs that can, you know, get them back out there super quick. So,
I mean, yeah. Do you feel healthy now, David? I mean, it's been years since you played. I'm sure you still
feel it. I'm finally just now getting healthy. Now, my knees are never going to feel the way they used to feel. That's just because I've had surgeries on them, you know, basically scopes. But I'm much better. Dr. Murphy and those guys have really done a great job getting me back to feeling, you know, like a young man again, a young athlete. I'm actually running around and doing stuff on the field with my kids, with my wife. So I'm happy. I'm in a great place. My back, I haven't had any problems with my back since my surgery. So, yeah, I feel great. I do not know how I did it out there on the field, 105 degrees at times, wearing all those pads. Like, I'm one of those guys now. Like, how did I do that? How is that possible? But when you're young, you can do a lot of things.
You can do a lot of things. This from the desk of Mia O'Brien on Twitter. As noted earlier, Cam Robinson was off to the side getting stretched out. Cam was back in just now in 11-on-11 drills for the entire drill. Kirk still off to the side at the moment. And from about 8 or 9 minutes ago, Devon Hamilton walking off with trainers, according to Mia O'Brien as well. So, you know, just some things to keep an eye on here, and might not get clarity on it fully today. And it may just not be any big deal. And they're just trying to be conservative, as you should be, with your new $18 million man.
Sure, and maybe it's the time and the timing of it, too. It did feel like today they started practice a little bit earlier. They just ended it. So it is a bit longer of a practice and a bit more into, you know, the heat of the morning, if you want to call it that. I mean, it's not what it's going to be come regular season time, you know, when you're stepping out there, but there is a bit more, and the full contact yesterday for the first time, day two of that, maybe some guys just dealing with some cramps or that kind of thing, wouldn't be a surprise going into day two of this physical contact.
All right, if he's able to, we got Demetrius Harvey of Big Cat Country scheduled to join us next for a look as the recently wrapped up practice and see if he can give us his firsthand impression of what he was seeing from Christian Kirk walking around on the sideline after being helped off with a trainer after catching a long touchdown from Trevor Lawrence. Everything good right up until the celebration of that. So he looked like he tweaked his ankle to some degree, but reading between the lines doesn't appear to be all that serious right now. So we'll get an update on that and more coming your way with Tony Smith, David Garrard, and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. Keep it right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, as far as we can tell, practice still going on for a few more minutes here. Mia O'Brien tweeting out moments ago, and now Dan Arnold comes up limping and hobbles to the sideline. So it's been a
practice is over.
A little bit of that, right? It should have been over. Sounds like a few minutes ago here.
Throw
Mike Dempsey,
towel.
Yeah, we're
Tony
done.
Smith, David Garrard.
Go to whistle.
And ET here with you. All right, all the calls for practice to wrap up. Demetrius Harvey of Big Cat Country is out there right now. Going to give us a few minutes. We know Trevor Lawrence going to step to the mic here. We don't want Demetrius to miss that. So, Demetrius, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
We're doing well. Just give us quick from what you've seen firsthand, Christian Kirk. We're following through your tweets, John Shipley's, Mia O'Brien's, kind of the situation on the ground. What are you observing with Kirk?
Right, so I didn't initially see when it happened. Apparently, he was celebrating and sort of came down on it, on his ankle or whatever it was, a little limp. And he was limping off, and then he sort of went over to the sideline, and then, you know, he was talking to trainers. And then throughout the rest of practice, he sort of remained on the sideline, walking up and down a little bit. I just think the biggest thing is he didn't go to the medical tent, which is what we saw happen with Will Richardson yesterday. So who knows how severe it is, but that's what happened.
It sounds before the last 15 minutes when all we've had to react to is who's limping, who's not limping, who's being stretched out there at Jaguars practice. It sounded like Trevor Lawrence was having a pretty good day connecting with some of those new weapons. It's Zay Jones. It sounded like had a good day. Christian Kirk was having a good day before whatever happened with the ankle there, as you were just describing. Is that how you felt about it too?
Absolutely. I saw a number of nice catches by Zay Jones, actually, during the team period and the 7-on-7 period. So he's having a good connection day with those kind of guys. I think that one of the biggest things headed into this week was to see how much chemistry they could develop, because it seemed like that was sort of an issue during the first couple of weeks. So it seems like they're having a better opportunity out there now with Christian Kirk. You know, he went on one-on-ones with, I think it was Trey Herndon, and he was going up against him. He made a great catch over the shoulder, perfect throw by Trevor. So just the little things like that.
Here with Demetrius Harvey of Big Cat Country. Demetrius, through your reporting and others yesterday, seemed like one of the most physical, probably the most physical practice of this entire offseason. What stood out to you?
Absolutely. I mean, ETN sort of said it afterward. He needed to take some hits, and he really did. Basically, the first rep during that team period, ETN is going towards the sideline. He's almost about to get out of bounds, and then all of a sudden, Andre Sisco comes in and just wallops him. So we were kind of surprised, and it just went on like that the entire time, pretty much just a live session where you need to see guys get tackled to the ground. And I really thought that yesterday was a really good performance by the defense, especially on the goal line. They just stopped the offense 7 straight times. So just a great day all around, really fun to watch, and they got the hit in.
Demetrius, is David Garrard here. Hey, bud.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I wanted to know a little bit more about the tight ends. How have they been performing, and how's the connection been with Trevor with them?
Yeah, with Evan Ingram, you know, the first couple of weeks, obviously there were some drop issues, but I feel like over the past few days, it seemed like they've sort of gotten over that. And with that, you know, you can see the chemistry developing between him and Trevor. With Dan Arnold, the same thing. And honestly, one guy who's really standing out is Luke Farrell, you know. He came in last year where he really didn't have much of an opportunity at Ohio State as a rookie. This year, you know, he's come in and really shown a lot. I think he's going to be one of those players where you're looking at it and you're like, oh, I forgot he was on the team. But he's been doing a really good job.
Any indications, Demetrius, that does feel like we're seeing guys get back out there? James Robinson participating at least in non-contact team drills this morning, as well as individual work. Devin Lloyd back out there getting some work, even if it's not in the team period. The name we haven't heard yet is Foley Fatukasi. Have you heard anything about a timetable for him getting back out there at practice?
Oh, he's been out there. He's been out there today. He was doing the team drills yesterday. He's supposed to be only individual, but he got some team in.
Okay.
So he's been out there. Jawan Taylor came back today, full participant. You know, he's splitting reps with Walker Little, so they're getting healthier.
All right, well, you know, Demetrius, we know that Trevor's getting ready to speak, so we'll get ready to cut you loose. Let me just get your quick thought. What was your impression of Trayvon Walker's debut last Thursday night?
I thought it was exactly what you want to see, honestly. I mean, the guy, he's pretty much shown what he can do in practice. He's strong, he's physical, pretty much exactly what he showed in the game. Obviously, he still has a lot of work to do in terms of developing more pass rush moves and things of that nature, but it's one of those things where at least you can see the vision, and I think that's all that matters.
All right, listen, man, we appreciate you hopping on here. Go back to your normal, regularly scheduled duties, but thank you for the update, Demetrius. Always appreciate your visits, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, buddy. All right, Demetrius82, at Demetrius82 is where you'll find him on Twitter, and of course writing for Big Cat Country, and Trevor Lawrence either starting to speak or getting ready to right now. So we appreciate Demetrius taking a few minutes out to squeeze that in. So that's all we know about the Christian Kirk situation, but it doesn't sound devastating, right? I mean, so, you know, it would be reasonable. Hey, even if he's lobbying to get back in there, Dave, no, you're good. Just keep walking around so it doesn't stiffen up. Didn't go in the tent. Doesn't seem to be, you know, at first glance, anything that serious.
Yeah, just seems to be one of those things where you're celebrating with your guy. I mean, this happens to so many people, and you just come down wrong, and it seems to be it's just something minor. Don't keep pushing it today. Ice it up. Do all those things, rehabbing this afternoon and all that, and be ready to go tomorrow.
All right.
Jaguars PR has at least given out the information, rolled ankle for Christian Kirk. So he's expected to be okay, but it is a rolled ankle for him. Devon Hamilton and Marvin Jones had cramps today, but they're also expected
to
be
okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, so, I mean, because you hear that Devon Hamilton walking off with a trainer.
Yeah.
It could be cramps. It could be anything. That's about we pass along the information without trying to editorialize too much. That's why we like to have guys like Demetrius and obviously our own Hayes Carline, Emil O'Brien, and others join us for as many camp reports as possible, and we'll do that again tomorrow. Let me ask you about something Demetrius said about yesterday's practice, Dave. I believe he's referring to a goal line situation. We're talking about full contact. I mean, like, this is not thud him up, right?
Yeah.
This is like we're stopping you. This is big boy football. Defense stopped the offense 7 straight times. Good for the defense. How are you feeling as a quarterback if this situation arises?
Oh, well, you're hoping that your guys there in the trenches can get a good push, get those guys in so that the running backs and whoever else can get in the end zone. That's what you're wanting to happen. But also, you're not game planning against them. So they may be running something, like I've said before, that doesn't really jive with what you have installed. And if that's the case, you know, that's unfortunate. But sometimes when you get down in the trenches, man, it's just, is your will stronger than mine? And that's what you want to see. So that's not a good sign. You would hope they would have gotten a few of them in because, like I said before, defense, man, they're just reacting. Just go hit the guy mm-hmm. with the ball. Offense, everybody's got to have their technique and schemes and, you know, fit and all this kind of stuff. It's a little bit more technical, but once it comes down to it, am I stronger? Are you stronger? Do you want it more? Do I want it more? And you want to see your offensive line, you know, impose their will on them. And when they don't do that, it feels bad everywhere. Even the guys on defense are going to talk smack like, y'all better get your game up. I mean, mm-hmm. y'all should have got in at least once or twice. And so hopefully that's just a little bit more motivation for the guys on offense to, you know, buckle up your straps a little bit more.
Yeah, I know you mentioned during the first hour, it took 20 minutes of game time on Thursday night before I felt like they had a good rep against the run, you know, on defense last Thursday night. So you have a practice yesterday where the defense stops the offense 7 times in a row. It's like, all right, the run all defense is coming around. And then you remember, oh, that's remember how the first three
those
quarters
were the same guys that just got ran through.
It's like, oh no. Like, it's that, but that's the give and take of training camp anyway.
And you don't know if it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing for the offense or, hey, great for the defense. They responded to not having a great run fit game in the preseason game, but they showed up today. They were geeked up. They were ready to stop the offense, and the offense just didn't get it done. Or is that just a bad sign for the offense?
Yeah, and look, Devin Lloyd's still not out there, but Foye Oluokun had what was described as an excellent practice yesterday and has been really good in another area, in coverage as well. They talked about how he was hanging with ETN.
Yeah, I saw today he had 3 straight one-on-one reps with ETN this morning, and the first two he shut him down. The third one, ETN shook him and then rocket down, down the field, right? Which ETN has the, obviously, athletic ability to do, but it's good to hear that Alou can stick him with.
And that's the thing, you know, with ETN, like, it's not just, you know, break a run from the line of scrimmage. It's not just take a swing pass and, you know, like, can he just flat out beat some guys on some routes? And does Trevor have enough time to find him down the field? And is he going to be a good enough receiver, Dave, to – I mean, it's different. There's – like, Leonard Fournette's caught a lot of passes. I don't know if he's a great receiving back. You know what I mean? Over the last couple of years. Some guys just have that knack, that, and ETN may be one of them, that they look natural no matter where you line them up and let them run routes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I play with a guy that, you know, you would – when you look at him, you don't think he's going to be a great receiver, but Mojo had really good hands. He could run – pretty good routes, and what would happen is we would try to get him matched up one-on-one with a linebacker, and if I felt he was just being matched up one-on-one with a linebacker that we knew wasn't a very good covering linebacker, then I was going at him because I knew Mojo was going to make him look bad. He had that ability. So, and I believe ETN is even better in the pass game than Mojo was. Mojo just overall just a really good back. But that's what I feel like ETN can really turn into, and even more because I think he has even more flat-out speed, more quickness when he, you know, makes his cut and goes. So his opportunity to make plays in this offense I think are going to be huge. And hopefully Doug Peterson and those guys are going to really highlight him this year.
And look, so, you know, maybe he got covered a few times by Aluakun. They're paying him a lot of money as $15 million a year to come in and do that. And people are excited about the front seven, particularly the linebacker core, as much as anything. So, you know, if that linebacker core, you know, if Stoop Connor's running it down your throat 5 out of 7 times, that's not a good sign that way either. So what is the ideal split? I'm not sure what it is, but I'm with you. Maybe a couple for the losing side.
Absolutely. And you can do more for those guys on defense when we're running a pass drill. Like, we're running a one-on-one drill. So, you know, I don't have to pay attention to any play action because we're running a one-on-one passing drill. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference when you get out in a game-type situation.
And half a false step. That's
absolutely.
All you need. Yeah.
Because if I do this play action and you bite down too hard on the run, but now you got to turn and take off, and then I hit ETN coming out of the backfield, and now you're having to retrack and go get him when the ball's thrown. Like, those are hard plays for a linebacker to make. So there's a lot of good things that you can do to take advantage of linebackers trying to cover really good receiving backs.
All right, when we return in a moment, and we will, hopefully, all things working in our favor, we'll ask you about the Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day, which asks you in 5 words or less to describe how Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame induction speech made you feel. We'll read through your responses, give you ours as well when we return, and any other news coming out of Jaguars post-practice, we'll pass that along to you as well. Christian Kirk tweaking an ankle, rolling it is officially how it was described by the Jaguars PR department, but no word on the severity of that, although based on the observers on the scene, it did not look to be that significant as he was able to walk around, not get into the medical tent, anything like that. But we're just keeping you posted on all the latest in case you just happen to be tuning in. With Tony Smith, David Garrard, and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We'll see. That's still stuff we're getting into. Yeah, but there's a chance, but we'll continue to have those conversations.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
2-3 into the fourth preseason game. We ain't going to play no Trevor Lawrence. No. I don't know if that's the case, but I'm just reading the tone of that. That was Press Taylor this morning. We'll see. You know, we'll take a look at that. I don't know, man. That sounds like we're leaning no right now, but it could change. I can't speak for the Jaguar coaching
for the whole preseason.
No, for this week.
Oh, okay.
For this week, I don't play Trevor Lawrence.
They only have three more games, right?
Correct, including this week, right?
Okay, including this week.
So three more games. What if they didn't play him this week, and they decided to play him into the third quarter in week three? Not enough?
No, I wouldn't play him that long.
Oh, you wouldn't play him that long?
No, I would just give, because you're getting so close now to the season. So
you have that bye week now too, right? So because if you don't play in the last preseason game, there's a bye week after that.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, you know, how?
Then I might get him. I might give him the whole first half then.
Not this week, the following week.
Or yes, yes, yeah. I would still play him a drive or two this week. Okay. Honestly, that's just being me. Because you got this week, you got next week, and then that's it.
And you know what? They may. We just don't know. We'll find out.
Not if he gets more guys getting banged up on the field.
That's a possibility. We'll see. And if we get any further word on Christian Kirk, other than he rolled his ankle, which came from the Jaguars PR staff, you know, hope for the best. Not trying to overplay it, but making you aware of the situation right now. Let's get a couple from Press Taylor. Then let's get to your reactions to Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame speech, which was our Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day. Looking back, Press Taylor said he saw some good and some bad, obviously, from the preseason game.
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's some good and bad that comes with, obviously, your first time out there running the offense. You know, and that's kind of where we're at. We continue to want to see what we see in practice and all that out on the field when, you know, there's less controlled variables, all that. Obviously, he's live in those types of situations. So there's good, there's bad. There's a lot to learn from, and we're excited for the next opportunity out.
certainly a lot to learn from. We'll see what that opportunity looks like on Friday. As far as who's going to be on the field, Luke Fortner was on the field on Thursday, as was Walker Little, who got the start at right tackle for them, with Juwan Taylor back in the fold today. We'll see what happens with that right tackle competition over the course of the next few weeks. But the coach was asked this morning about Fortner and Walker Little and how they looked on Thursday.
I thought they both did a good job of, you know, first things, they look like they belong. You know, they won too big for them. It wasn't a moment that they weren't ready for. You know, I thought Luke specifically played really fast. He identified things well. Now, there are some things that you don't spend as much time scheming and game planning in the preseason games as you do, obviously, in the regular season. So there were some times that maybe a front presented itself that wasn't something we had gone over before. They played a different personnel grouping, and maybe you don't know the personnel as well as you would in a normal week. So there was a couple things that we maybe misidentified. But in terms of just communication, recognition, play speed, he did a good job. Now, there's things that we're obviously looking for him to improve upon as he goes forward, and that's what we'd expect out of a young player. But he did nothing to diminish our excitement for his ability. And then I thought Walker was really calm in his pass sets. He did a really good job communicating with the guys next to him, just kind of being on the same page and not getting overeager on some things. And it was a good showing for him.
All right, Fortner continues to look like he is the obvious leading candidate to start, open the season at center. And Walker Little and Juwan Taylor, by all accounts, were just alternating every other snap today in 11-on-11. So a very close battle continues there. And so one more here from Press Taylor. What is the next step you'd like to see out of this offense?
There's always the fine line of, you know, we want to put our guys in situations to see them execute things they know really well. So when you're playing the young guys, you're going to keep it vanilla and see, okay, it's you on him. Let's line up and play. See how you run the route we put in day one. Can you execute it with the technique we've asked you to do? Does it all fall apart when all of a sudden there's a guy standing across from you? And at the same time, you want guys to run the offense the way you believe it could be to see, you know, evaluate, can this guy do this when we ask him to? But, you know, maybe there's not all the bells and whistles. We're not scheming it up. We're not putting a ton of wordy calls in there to make sure we have the right play all the time. Sometimes it's, let's go, let's figure out some problems here. But let's see your technique play against another opponent. So there's always the fine line. And I would say early on, there's portions where it probably is pretty vanilla and you just want to see guys go out and execute. But that's just kind of something we'll continue to work through as the preseason goes on.
Well, that makes sense to you, Dave, about what they're looking to get done?
Yeah.
From a quarterback's perspective?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's look back at Tony Boselli on Saturday, riling up Ola Duval with a great induction speech for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, presented, of course, by Mark Burnell. And we asked you today the Chad and Sandy Real Estate question today. Chad and Sandy Real Estate, multiple offers on your home in 3 days, or they'll sell it free. Find out more at chadandsandy.com. In 5 words or less, describe how Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame induction speech made you feel. So I'm going to go around the table at the end, 5 words or less. I'm going to see if we can stick to that. But here are some of the responses that we got today from Little Grandma. Grateful, honored, teary-eyed, and proud. Proud was a common theme here. Scott Adams, proud to be a fan. Honored by his representation from O'Greezy. History now includes Duval forever from Andrew. Wishing I could have been there, said Cristiano. Duval till I die from Big Will. Heartfelt, proud, modest, respect, and honor. Proud to be from Duval. Proud to be Jags Nation. Made me tear up. Emotionally driven, powerful, all the feels. I'm not crying, it's sweat. Proud to be a Jaguar. Prideful like a proud papa. Felt great, represented us well. Happy for Tony Boselli. Even more respectful of Boselli, proud, legit, tearful, loved every bit of it, and on and on and on. Jimmy and Fred up next, amen to that. Grown men with tears falling, one long Duval, run through a brick wall, proud, 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 perfect tone, proud, Kool-Aid. In other words, they're drinking it good. and then there's this good. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see if we can adhere to the formula here. David Garrard, 5 words or less. How did Tony Boselli's speech make you feel?
I was proud and honored for him and happy for this city.
Dang.
And happy for this. So you went 10 words. He went. proud and honored for him. Right? That would be good. and happy for this city. All right, we'll allow it. He's David Garrard, Tony. I don't know what to do. I can't corral this guy.
It is what it is.
Five words or less, Tony Smith, see if you can come closer.
Perfect representative for the franchise.
For the franchise. That's beautiful. That's well done. Wish that had been mine. It was. Tony stole it. E.T., what you got?
Big Bo represented Duval correctly.
Big Bo represented
like
Duval
a lot of words
correctly.
There.
It did seem like a lot, but it was five.
Okay.
I have to skip. I'm cutting a word out. You're going to have to just assume it, I intended it to be in there, but proud to be part Duval, right? Proud to be a part. Like, I mean, it's proud. No, like, Duval represents everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Duval, to me, stands for everybody who wishes success for the franchise, who gets enjoyment out of the franchise, mm-hmm. who has friendships through, you know, the existence of the Jaguars. All these fans out there will tell you, it's, you know what, no matter how bad the product is on the field, they show up every Sunday, Dave. They hang out with the same group of people. Maybe the only eight times out of the year, whatever, that they see these folks.
Yeah.
But they see them regularly. It's their extended family. And I just am proud to be a small part of that. And I felt like Tony represented me, represented everybody who's got a stake in that. As a player, mm-hmm. What did it feel like for you to see it finally, the gold jacket, the bust, and it all came to fruition? What did it feel like? I mean, just beyond those words
yeah.
I tried to limit
well,
you to.
I mean, for me, just to know what he's gone through each year to get so close and then to be told, well, maybe next year. And you see some guys that are getting into the Hall of Fame, and they're not even around anymore, and you're like, ah. I just really hope that doesn't happen
yeah.
to somebody like Tony, because he's deserving of getting in there sooner than rather than later. So to see that happen, to see it happen in a time where, you know, he wasn't, you know, up there with a walking cane or
anything.
Someone
like had to do the
or
speech
somebody
for
had to
him,
do it
right?
for
which,
him.
Hey, you're respecting
and that,
you know,
and that happens.
McNally, it is what it is.
It happens. I mean, even to get put in after your long gone from this earth is still an honor, something for your family, your kids, and your kids' kids to be able to enjoy and cherish.
Oh, that was cool. John Robinson was there, too. Yeah. I think he's 87. I heard the guys on the drill say this morning, you know, his college coach, obviously, at USC.
You know, it's one of those, it's unique.
Yeah.
Right? Canton, and it was funny being up there for a few days. It felt like, yeah, this is the kind of place where football would be born.
Yeah.
You know, like it is, you go back and look at the early roots of professional football, and it is these small towns, you mm-hmm. know, that it was in places like Canton. Mm-hmm. That's still where the Hall of Fame is. So there's kind of a pilgrimage to that place as a football fan at some point in your life. And, you know, the gold jacket ceremony on Friday, there's 100 living Pro Football Hall of Fame members in the building at the same time.
Wow.
You know, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does feel everyone's a family. Once you're in the hall, you're in the family, right? But it does feel like, you know, some people get to stay in the penthouse. You know, like you have those guys that are the first ballot, no doubters, you know, the legends all time.
There's even still levels to the Hall of Fame.
Like there's a Randy Moss and a Ray Lewis and a Peyton Manning, and it'll be Tom Brady and those kind of guys. And they don't make that trip back every year,
mm-mm.
right? Like it's a big deal to be in the Hall of Fame, but they don't make that trip back every year. Tony, I'd be there every year, right? I'd
soak
be there
it
with
up, man.
My jacket on. I'm part of this now forever.
Yep.
You would see me at Canton every year for the Pro Football.
Well, and by the way, and we've mentioned it many times last week and leading up to it, congrats to Leroy Butler as well.
Yeah,
Jacksonville
yeah,
kid made good. You know, this is a Jaguar show, but we certainly respect Leroy and his fantastic career, which was also a long overdue induction as a member of the All-90s team in the National Football League, a great performer as well.
And he was a guy that had some kind of, like a
club foot.
Yeah,
oh, did he? Is that what it was? Yeah.
When he was a kid.
He had to have his feet broken.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
And, but, you know, and to hear that kind of story and for him to say, and I wanted to play a sport where I could have teammates to kind of help me,
mm-hmm.
and then turn around all the way to now where you're an actual Hall of Famer.
Isn't that crazy?
It is, man. It is crazy.
It's awesome.
He just wanted to be a part of a team, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
No doubt about it. And you know what? He represents Jacksonville very, very well as well. And it's nice to see how he and Tony have bonded over this process, in particular over the last year or so. All right, with that, let's say hello to a guy who got a shout-out during the Hall of Fame induction speech here as we welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, if Big Sur had the right side locked down, as Tony Boselli said, that makes me the tight end in this formation because he's on my immediate left at the moment. Sir, yeah. How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen?
How was it for you, former teammate, and nice to get a personal shout out
It was cool. You know, a lot of people was asking me that before the Hall of Fame. You think Tony's going to say something about you? I said, it's not necessary, but it's appreciated.
Yeah.
Because this ain't about me. It's about Tony and the ceremony and the Hall of Fame, but it was good to get shout out.
Tony gave a lot of shout outs and good for him for doing it, but I thought gave just an excellent, heartfelt speech. Didn't get, you know, he managed to keep his emotions in check, but you could tell everything meant so much to him.
Listen, you know what I appreciate the most about the speech is what he said about Tom Coughlin when he said it was hard. And he didn't like his rules and all that kind of stuff. I absolutely appreciated that because it was the truth.
Yes,
exactly.
None of them liked those rules day back in the day. So.
Oh, well, yeah, that was classic. That
yeah,
was classic.
Well, and, you know, I think he's right. Tom Coughlin just deserved it. Not many guys with his
100% right.
Tom, Super Bowl rings, come
Tom
on.
Tom was hard but fair. Yeah. That's why I always call him I always call him a drink with no chaser. That's what he was. Right. He was a drink with no chasing.
You know when you're ordering. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no sugarcoat in this. Dick Vermeil gave Tom a shout-out as well.
Gave him a Hall of Fame shout-out,
which was cool as well. All right, Sirs, what are you guys getting into today?
You know, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame festivities and everything like that. And we're at 12:45, we've got the Hall of Famer coming on, Willie Rofe.
Nice. All right, there you go. I know you saw him up in Canton last week. So, Sirs, have a great show.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you as well. And just the fun to bask in the glow of Tony Boselli's big weekend, and well-deserved, and just great. Now, from now till all time, you know, the Jags are represented with one of their own inducted, and a guy who's never put on another uniform. Houston took him in that expansion draft and did Jacksonville a huge favor financially to help clear up salary cap, but never actually suited up for the Texans back then, and pretty amazing story. First ever draft pick. It took a while, but long time worth the wait as Tony Boselli gets inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dave, what are you playing? What do you got going on the next week?
Sports. My kids are playing everything, so I'm ripping and running and teaching and trying my best to not get in the way.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I know you'll be reacting next Monday with us to Friday's preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. So that'll be our first show that has an opportunity to do that.
Hopefully,
as well.
There's a few more guys playing that I actually know.
No doubt. Yeah. I think there may be. ET. What about the pregame action for you? Come on, somebody.
Ooh.
Come on, everybody.
Oh, I get to join Mike Dempsey and JP, I guess, for the first hour. Come on, somebody. Come on, everybody. They asked me back, and, of course, I gladly accepted. So, y'all know, hit the line, 207-7071. What do y'all want to see this week? What are y'all looking forward to see? Come on. It's football season. Coach Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence is back. Let's go. Come on, somebody.
207-7071 is the number to get
in. Look
at
that. Look at that, Mike. Look at that.
On that, come on, somebody. Come on, everybody. Call in line. Tony Smith, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Great work as well. Thanks again to 1010XL for sending us all on that trip to Canton to be a part of just vicariously the wonderful experience
history
for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Franchise history, Tony Boselli history, Jacksonville history, whatever kind of history, it's all that rolled up into one. And many speedy returns for any Jaguar who got a bump or bruise out at practice today. There were a few of them, but hopefully none of them very serious. Stick it right here with 1010XL throughout the course of the day, and you'll get updates on that as that information becomes available. That'll do it for us. Jaguars Today back with Jeff Loggeman in-house tomorrow right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I have to get this in just one time. Duval!